Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we try to take you through the Bible slowly and methodically and explain to you some of the hidden meanings that I've found over my lifetime of reading. And I've read it over 100 times through and different passages hundreds of times. And I really don't understand a fraction of it even at this point. This book is filled with amazing things that God has intentionally hidden. He said, it does my heart good for kings to search out the mysteries in my book. Don't go home without reading it through at least once, because he's going to ask you. He'll already know the answer. But did you read my book? Don't be one to say, well, I tried. I got into Leviticus and Deuteronomy and I fell asleep. You know, those are laborious reading portions. You know, if you start definitely in Genesis and then skip over the law. Read the rest of the book and then come back and read portions of the law while you read portions of the rest of the book at the same time, because it will make sense at that point. Once you've read about the entire saga of the children of Israel, and then you go back and realize what the law was, why God established it, because his first covenant with Abraham was, as you should know if you're following us on WVFF, Between the Lines, that God said to Abraham, I wish to make a covenant with you. And it's not the Ten Commandments, like Pastor said. It was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is a spiritual thing and one is an outwardly thing, showing that you belong to me. You know, they couldn't do it. The first three patriarchs lived under that covenant. They followed God with their hearts. And you notice they had complete freedom. And even into the 12 sons, the freedom was still there all the way through the saga in Egypt. And then God brought them out of Egypt, and immediately he notices that they will not follow him with all their heart. One day they follow him, the next day they don't. Over and over and over again, he can be there in the camp. His presence is in the camp, and as soon as it leaves, they're going down another path. You don't want it the easy way? We're going to do it the hard way. How many times have your parents said that to you? You won't do it the easy way? We're going to do it the hard way. I heard that in the army. Yeah, that's what a father does. That's what a good father does when the child will not obey. So he put the law, a massive, binding, legislative thing. It's designed to bind you physically and spiritually, and it ends in death. It only ends in death and separation from God. Everyone that's born into this world is born under the law, even today. The only way to free yourself from the law is through the grace of Jesus Christ. If you find the grace of Jesus Christ and you still wish to hold on to the law, the Bible says that makes Christ, his sacrifice, it makes it of no avail. You're basically saying to him, I appreciate what you did, being flogged and dying on that cross for all of my sins spiritually, but it just ain't enough. I got to do this other stuff that, you know, it's cool to let my neighbor see that I'm so holy. I'm going to not do any work on Sunday, and I'm not going to, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you know what? Sunday's not even the Sabbath, Christian. So you're not following the law, but you're telling Christ what he did just wasn't good enough.
Well, you missed the spot.
Yes, you missed the spot.
Yeah, I got to do this part.
Yeah, I don't want absolute freedom. I really don't want absolute freedom. Just like the children of Israel didn't want freedom. Paul says nothing under the grace of Jesus Christ is illegal for the Christian. Some things aren't good for the Christian, but if you're following Christ with all your heart, you'll know the difference. There's the key, the heart. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your money, because if he has your heart, then he has your mind. God says, I place the spirit of man in the heart, not in the mind. The Bible says the mind is contrary to God, and the flesh is an abomination. It's the spirit man placed inside the heart that's supposed to gain control of the mind. And that's a struggle daily, gain control of the mind, and therefore point this abominable flesh toward God. It's like driving a bus down the road, and each side is a black pit. You got to keep it in the middle of the road, and the only way to do it is to focus your time on Jesus Christ. And the law is on both sides of the road. So run into the law, you run back into the darkness. We're here in Deuteronomy, finishing up Moses's book of remembrance, because he's been told he has to die because he disobeyed God. God said, speak to the rock. Moses is very weary at this time. These people had worn him down. At times he said to God, why did you put me in charge of these people? Why did you make me a father to these stiff-necked, disobedient children? God even called them his kids at certain times.
Yes.
And Moses had to remind him, no, they're yours. You actually made them, and they are yours. You just put me in charge of them. And why did you do it? I thought you loved me. All right, to have fun with God's word.
That's right.
Deuteronomy chapter 21. Moses is getting ready to die. The children of Israel are poised to go over into the land of Canaan. Moses knows these people inside and out, and knows as soon as he's gone, he will not be there to fall on his face and save their lives anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he's gone, they're going to disobey. In fact, he's going to write the entire history before it happens here in just a few minutes. So he's writing this book of remembrance, and he's telling them to put it everywhere. Put it all around you. Put it in your houses. Put it on your doorposts that
between
you will remember. Yes, between your eyes that you will remember. I'm giving you these clip notes. You don't have to read that stack of God's law sitting over there by the altar. You don't have to try to read that. It almost takes a lawyer to understand that. I'm giving you a brief summary here that you can carry with you, like the pocket constitution that a lot of people carry around.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So please pay attention, because I'm not going to be here, thank God, to protect you anymore.
Yeah, I'm almost out of here. I mean, I'm almost sad, but I'm not.
Yes, I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it, but I'm sad for you. Chapter 21, Book of Deuteronomy. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known whose hath slain him, and the elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. It shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take an heifer which had not been wrought with, and which had not drawn in the yoke. And the elders of the city shall bring down the heifer unto the rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. From them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord, and by their words shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of the city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. This is a litmus test. If somebody's found dead, nobody takes responsibility, nobody knows anything about it. You bring this heifer down there, and you bring the elders of the largest city in the area, the one that's closest to the body, down there, and they strike off the head of the heifer, and they all put their hands on it and swear that they know nothing about it. And I guarantee you, if they do, they will fall out immediately. This is, it's akin to our investigations these days, but God's investigations don't have to be so thorough. He'll ask you a question. If you lie, hey, what happened to Ahab? He fell out. Well, apparently he knew something about it.
Yep.
Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people Israel's charge. the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you. When thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, when thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them unto thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, and thou shalt bring her home to thine house, she shall shave her head and pare her nails, cut her nails. She shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and to be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. So there was no big ceremony. He just wanted the woman cleansed of the pagan attributes that she might have with her. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. Be thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make her merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, Jacob, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son he of hers that is was hated, Jacob, then it shall be, when he maketh his son to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Now this is going to blow your minds. Child Protective Services would have a field day with this.
Oh, yes.
He will not obey his father or his mother, and that when they have chastised him, will not hearken unto them. You got a son that just will not mind. Very rebellious, very disobedient. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put all evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. America, you've raised a whole generation of these. God wouldn't allow them to be in his congregation, but we have raised an entire generation of rebellious, disobedient young people that are getting ready to be in charge of this nation. Good job. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, thou hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. You see, Christ was hanged on a tree, but not by the neck.
Right.
And this doesn't necessarily say by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it says he's accursed by God.
Right.
You know, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you took on every sin that everyone in this world has ever done. And you know what? When he took him, he felt them.
Yes.
He felt the feelings associated with him. Because he will judge the nations one day, and a righteous judge that has not felt what it feels like to murder someone, to rape someone, to molest someone, cannot give a righteous judgment. He has felt all of that, and every one of us has put it on him. That's why God said he was accursed. Because all the filth of us was put on the perfect one, the perfect Lamb of God. Chapter 22, Book of Deuteronomy, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. Be courteous to your neighbor. Help them in any way that you can. If thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. If you find the cow, you don't know who it belongs to, take it home and take care of it until someone comes searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get there, do not say, I don't know, that's my cow.
Yeah.
God forbid. In like manner, thou shalt do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment. With all lost things of thy brothers, which he hath lost and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. The last time you seen somebody by the road with a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing. His ass is broken down.
Yep. Absolutely. That's a form of method of transportation.
Yep.
And a way to transport their goods and stuff like that. Same thing with a vehicle. So
yep.
100% right.
Yeah, everything in this Bible is applicable. You know, it's dangerous. Pastor Dave, to stop and help somebody in a row. Yeah, it is. You know, trust God. And he also trusts you to be strong and to be able to protect yourself, because you know, the old saying is, God helps those who helps themselves. No, he helps the helpless. But he expects his people to be strong and aware and able to protect themselves. And if you come to the point where you can't protect yourself, he will have your back.
Oh, yes.
I guarantee you that. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do this is an abomination unto the Lord. And that does not mean pants, Pentecostals. Because at the time this was written, men were wearing robes and dresses.
Yep.
They weren't dresses as a woman would put on, but they were skirts. And there's only the breeches were brought in for the Levites.
That's right.
That was the first sign of breeches we've seen in here.
Yep.
Everyone else was wearing robes and skirts. But there were female skirts and there were male skirts. God says, do not. If you're a man, do not attempt to look like a woman. That's what it means. It's mm-hmm. It's very little to do with garments. Do not attempt to look like a woman, and a woman, do not attempt to be a man. What do we got going on today?
Yes, exactly that.
It is a curse from God. It says so later in this Bible. I will put it on them in the latter days. Men will burn for men, and women will burn for women. Nothing to do with pants. It's nothing to do with haircuts. You know, at this time, the Hebrews were forbidden to cut their hair. You know? But if you got a guy back then shave off his beard, put on a female garment, he wanted to be a woman. He wanted to look like a woman. What do we got going on today is the same thing. It's abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know, a sin is a sin, but God calls some things detestable to me.
Yes. He has varying layers.
Yes.
Like how it says yes. In a couple of verses back where it says the sins that are worthy unto death.
Yes, yes. Because we see under the law, you can sin accidentally, unconsciously, purposely. You know, you can touch a doorknob after an unclean man has, and you're sinful and you're unclean. You know, a sin is a sin. Every sin will keep you out of God's kingdom. But there are sins that will bring curses onto your life. This is one of them.
Spiritual cross-contamination.
Yes. Yeah. This is an abomination unto the Lord God for a man to be a woman and a woman to try to be a man. Verse 6, if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, and any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Everything wants to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, and thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. He said, a lot of people, that when they built houses back then, the roofs were like their deck. He says, put a railing around it. Common sense. So no one falls off of it and gets killed or hurt. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Keep the grapes separate. You know, your purple grapes here, your white grapes there. Don't sow them all together. Not supposed to intermix. I know we've done a lot of that in modern days. God said to keep them separate for some reason.
Right.
Thou shalt not plow with an ox or with an ass together, because one of them pulls harder than the other, and one animal will be under misery the entire time. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as a woolen or linen together. Thou shalt make thee fingers upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I come to her, I found her not a maid, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. The damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I give my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. They shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. Did you know that the mother and the father kept the virginal blood from the first time a young maiden was defiled by a man? Just because of things like this. The guy married the girl. He was her first. And he decided he didn't like her. Mm-hmm. So he claimed she wasn't a virgin. Well, they had proof. They brought it to the elders. Man, what an intricate society.
Yes.
Nothing is forbidden to speak of. Right. Nothing is forbidden to be examined. We're so touchy in America.
Yes.
It's just...
They don't want you broaching any subjects.
No.
Like you just said, the perfect word, touchy.
Yeah.
They don't want you, you know, offending anyone.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like, well, how much of the law are you curtailing, shaving off there to you know, codify all these people?
Yeah. Yeah. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver. They will fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. You know, Moses had written decrees of divorce. But in this case, if the man swears a lie against the woman that he wishes divorce, he's stuck with her forever. You know, I feel sad for her.
Right.
Because she's not going to have a good life, but it's punishment for the man. And as we know at this point, women are property. But if this thing be true and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of the father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die. Wow. Dare not say you're a virgin if you're not, because it carried a death sentence, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lie with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. It is forbidden under the statutes of adultery for any man to lie with a married woman. Okay? But you'll see the patriarchs will have wives and go out and lie with other wives, other women, and take some of them for wives. But the key to this is a married woman is forbidden. Absolutely, you don't touch her. The damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. So even a betrothal, you know, if that's a fiance, if the woman is a fiance, she's considered already married. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. So rape carried also as it should.
A death sentence.
Mm-hmm. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. Wow. God considers rape the same as murder. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lie with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife. Yes, I've told you that many times. Getting married is not a ceremony. No. The state did that because they wanted their $20.
Yes.
Tell you what, Christian, every woman you ever slept with, God said you were married. Okay?
Yes.
So take your socks off, because you might have to count more than what you got on your fingers. Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Yes, okay. And that doesn't necessarily mean the man's mother. The father, you know, as in the case of Reuben.
Oh, yeah.
Reuben came in and laid with his father's concubine wife, wasn't his mother, but he laid with her, and because of that, his entire line was cursed to amount to nothing. Even though Jacob says, Reuben, you are such a good man, you have such strength, but you are as unstable as water. You know, it's one of them people that during the day has it all squared away, and when the night comes, the darkness comes in. I feel for him. I feel those things. But a man shall not. And then this has great connotation when I go back to the story of Noah. This is exactly what Ham did. It wasn't nothing about seeing Noah naked. Catch some of the past episodes of WVFF 97.7 on Between the Lines with Jonathan and David, and will open your eyes to the words that are right here in this Bible. You got to read them slow. You got to read them methodically. You got to examine every word that's in there. And you thought that because Ham seen his father naked, that he would curse Canaan, his son, forever, his line forever, and God would allow such a thing just because he saw his father naked and laughed at him?
Right.
Pastors, get into this book, read it yourselves. Don't just listen to what you heard in church when you were kids, because it's a different story when you actually read it.
Yes.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.